is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's verse 8. But I don't think we go any further than that, but I'm going to read another couple of verses which aren't up there. You may see them in your Bibles. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. We have an altar. Yet another picture of who Jesus is. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. So that's Hebrews chapter 13 this morning, verses 1. Well, we went to verse 10, didn't we? Well, we've had another tumultuous week, haven't we, in the life of politics and society. It makes you want to tell a joke. Now, where's Victor? Victor sent me this, right, on WhatsApp. It was a little cartoon. He said, did you know that Moses was the first person to ride a motorcycle? It's in the Old Testament where it says the roar of Moses' triumph could be heard all over Israel. I think that one fell on Mortazar's deaf ears. Yeah. I looked for the word triumph. I did find it. I didn't find exactly that scripture. And there's another one about there's another one in the Old Testament, Victor, you'll be interested to know, and that's Joshua. He was also, well, maybe Moses taught Joshua. I think he did in many things, but maybe he taught him how to ride a motorcycle as well. It's something I never did, ride a motorcycle. I don't know about you. It always seemed to me too dangerous to be on two wheels. Didn't stop me driving like a maniac, though, for many years. Well, I'm going to tell another joke because I think we need our spirits lifting this morning. Amen, said Victor. Well, President Clinton. Sorry, Carol, are you? It is. Right, that was Carol, by the way, for the purpose of the recording. No, you leave that bit in, Carol. You leave that bit in. We like to have a little wit and repartee going on, don't we, from the front? Okay. Well, President Clinton died. And he knocked at the old pearly gates. Who goes there? St. Peter inquired. It's me, Bill Clinton. Peter asked, what bad things did you do on earth? Clinton thought a bit and answered, well, I did smoke some marijuana, but you shouldn't hold that against me because I didn't inhale. I guess I had an extramarital affair, but you couldn't hold that against me because I didn't really have sexual relations with that woman. And I lied, but I did not commit perjury. So Peter thought about all of this for a bit and he said, President Clinton, here's the deal. We'll send you someplace very hot, but we're not going to call it hell. You'll be there for an indeterminate period of time, but we're not going to call it eternity. And, Mr. President, finally, don't abandon all hope upon entering. Just please don't hold your breath, waiting for it to freeze over. Who hasn't told lies? Who doesn't? God doesn't. That's kind of the theme for this morning. God is faithful. But anyway, we'll perhaps unpack some of that. We're halfway through the year. It goes too quickly at a certain age, doesn't it? And our service this morning, if you can remember that far back, because I know some of you are fairly elderly, our service this morning began with verses from Psalm 102, which was a call to worship God, the immutable God, a big word for the God who doesn't change. The unfortunate thing about the coronavirus is that it's mutable. It changes. God doesn't. The immutable God we've worshipped, the one who always existed, the one who created, as we heard, the heavens and the earth, the one who, even though the creation itself is subject to change and change constantly, the one who does not himself change in his self, in his character. The psalmist calls the people to be confident, and the writer to the Hebrews also called the hearers of his letter to be confident that God will keep his promises and that he will continue to care for them, even when, as is often the case, they muck up and muck up big style, which of course we do. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says this: God is not a man, or a woman, that he should lie, nor is he a son of man, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Well, there are questions there, but they're really rhetorical questions, because God doesn't lie. God may change his mind, but in changing his mind, there is no change of character. There is no change in the goodness of who God is. God is, as we say. Carol's prayer spoke of those who don't believe in God. But God is, whether they believe or not. God is reliable and keeps his promises. And these are universal truths, true then as they are now. And the universal immutable truth about human beings is that they are given constitutionally, especially without the help of God and the aid of his Spirit, they are given constitutionally to lying and embellishing and making stuff up and making themselves look better than they really are. You see, God knows who we really are in the secret chambers of our hearts or in our lives. And if you can't be honest with one another, then at very least be honest with God. Because you will find in doing that you will feel better. When people make promises, they guarantee those promises, don't they, by appealing to some authority. You go to court. Appeal to some authority above them so that if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, then the authority will back them up. When God wants to guarantee his promises, what does he do? He simply gives his word. What's your word worth? Or my word worth? When God wants to guarantee the promises that he makes, he gives his word, and it's rock solid. It's a guarantee. He can't break his word. It's unchangeable. And hard on the heels of that unchangeable word is the promise of God, which is equally unchangeable. Those who turn to him, in no way will he turn them away. Those who confess and commit to, yet again after having messed up, commit to trying again in God's strength, will be helped. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to feel that confidence. It's almost as if we're offered in Jesus a spiritual lifeline. I watched the news this morning, and one of the warnings was about the weather and about the temperature. One of the warnings was to make sure you have lots of hydration. And one of the other warnings was particularly to teenage boys, don't go tomb diving. I don't know what you call it. What's it called? where they jump off a rock and it, yes, right, it can be very dangerous, especially if you don't have a lifeline. But here we're talking about a spiritual lifeline that you have and that I have. Jesus remains the mooring. There's a picture of a boat, isn't there, that's knocking about. But Jesus remains for us the mooring that keeps us in harbour, that keeps us safe, that keeps us not veering too far away and not getting crashed and crunched on the rocks. And who's the writer of the Hebrews? I suggested to you that you read the entire letter, all 13 chapters of it. But the writer to the Hebrews, whoever the man was writing to a people who were going through hard times and were thinking themselves, I'm giving up on church. They were being persecuted. We're not being persecuted, but there are some people who think about giving up on church or who are very much on the verge of doing that. And some are drifted away. And famously, I think it's in chapter 10 of Hebrews, he calls them to meet together and to not stop worshipping together. They are a people, the ones that he's writing to, they are a people that feel discouraged and down. And we can feel that way, we can feel discouraged and down. We can't perceive the new thing that God is doing, and that makes us feel discouraged and down. They are, in short, just like you and me, they need help. They need all the help they can get. And the writer to the Hebrews says, well, you need the help of Jesus. That's why he spent a whole 12 chapters telling him why they should trust him, why Jesus is better than angels, why he's better than Moses, why the new covenant is better than the old covenant, a whole host of reasons why we should fix our eyes on Jesus, not take our eye off him in case we should fall, and that way not be able to run the race, the Christian race, with perseverance. And of course we know, don't we, that as long as we keep our eyes on him, we can run this race without losing heart, because there are a lot of people out there losing heart. Concluding exhortations. And the exhortations, the encouragements continue. You can be encouraged, as we heard in verse 5 of chapter 13, that he will never forsake you or leave you. People forsake you all the time. People leave you. People leave you in the lurch. People forsake you. People lie to you. You forsake people. You probably lie to them too. Truth. Truth be known. Believers, we're told in verse 6, 13:6, should imitate those who have had faith in him. The teachers, the leaders who had the same faith in Jesus. The teaching that they had is the teaching that I want you to keep today. Don't go off with all these mad, weird teachings. The teachings that they had are the teachings that we have. We hear the same thing. Lawrence said to me, I really miss being with you, but I don't miss your boring sermons, Mark. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether Lawrence thinks my sermons are boring. And of course, Lawrence has a marvellous sense of humour, and I don't believe a word he's saying anyway. Paul McCartney said that in this ever-changing world in which we're living, it's the theme tune to a James Bond film, by the way, just in case. Live and something. Yeah, you can sing that one, John. I can see you rehearsing it. In this ever-changing world in which we're living, we can be encouraged that some things don't change. That in line with a line that the ad men would die for, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't wrench this 8th verse out of context, but it does. We can't indeed wrench any verse out of context, because as the old saying in Bible interpretation goes, a text without a context is a pretext. But this is a standalone truth that we're dealing with here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bob Dylan, another song, the times they are a... One thing we can be sure of in life is the inevitability of change, isn't it? I look at photographs of me from, you know, back when Sue and I got married, and I don't even let people take photographs of me now. Change. And change in the world. Is the world getting any nicer? Are its people getting any better? They just might have fancier ways of telling porcupines now. Dissimulating. Dissembling. Deceiving. I could go on. But you'll be glad that I won't. You know, in fact, one of the main points of this book is that Jesus is the guarantor. From the very outset, Hebrews has told these people that all of these things that you see around you, all this world, this earth and these heavens, they're going to perish only, just like a garment. They're going to wear out and be rolled up and be changed. Jesus spoke about this in many ways, didn't he? Your years and your reign will never end. That's God. That's Hebrews 1, verses 8 to 12. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, as we know from our Revelation studies, who is and was and is to come. The same won't change, can't change what he's said. A God of justice, a God of truth. And that justice and in that justice and in that truth, he won't take away, he won't revoke his offer to love the unlovable, to love the world, in other words, that he made. He's not like you or me or Boris or anybody else. Don't fall into the mistake of thinking that BJ is the only one who stands up there and tells porkies. All the promises of God are caught up in Jesus. His Spirit, the same, fixes that truth that we won't be left, we won't be abandoned. He said to his disciples on the night he was betrayed, I won't leave you as orphans. There's another old hymn, you remember it, Great is thy faithfulness. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. Well, we twist and we turn in the wind. He doesn't. They fail not, these compassions, they don't fail. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. The standalone truth about who Jesus is. And when you look at that truth in black and white, you see the truth about yourself. We see how far away from this we are. Doesn't stop us reaching out to get it and find it and be it with his help. Change and decay in all around I see, O thou who changest not. Abide with me. Another one. We could go on. Writer to the Hebrews fleshes out this truth for us. There is still the same power in the blood. He is the same surety and guarantor that we are safe and forgiven, still underwritten. Like an insurance policy. Not one that we would ever take for granted, but still underwritten like a policy. Underwritten, but not in ink, but in blood. Still the same brother, still a man, still human like us, still in the midst of us, still in his church. By his Spirit. In the midst of us, by his word. In the midst of us. In the people who sit here. In the midst of us, still. In bread and wine, which you took last week. Still the same. Merciful. Thank God, God's merciful. To me. Still the same mediator. Still able to save to the uttermost, as the Authorized Version puts it. Save to the uttermost those who come to him. Or those who come to God through him. Still the same mediator between God and man. Still the same advocate. Still able to help those who are being tempted by the enemy. Still able to deliver us from evil. Still the same one. Still the same King. Still the same King of the same kingdom. That same unshakable kingdom. The same yesterday. The same today. Tomorrow, forever. Still the same anchor for the soul. Firm and strong as the billows roll. Remember that old hymn? In this changing world. Still the same rock to cling to. Still that lifeguard. There's a bar of soap that I remember. Is it lifeguard or was it life buoy? Giving away my age now. We don't need to look anywhere else. We don't need a new fad of fashion, a new operating system, a new telephone, the latest ringly ding ding dinging. Don't need any more strange teaching. What he did for our forebears, he will do for us. He offers us the same rest. He's still that same pioneer. All these things come from the book of Hebrews. The same author and perfecter of our faith. Still worthy. The same captain and judge. Still the way, the truth, and the life. Still the one constant in the unchanging, variable world in which we're living. Confusing out there in the world. Just nice to know that there's one that you can come to that you can trust, because we sure as can't trust the politicians. We can't trust the police. We can't trust men and women. Not totally. It's good if you've got someone at home that you can trust and that knows you. The same Christ. We heard earlier on Gail reading from Isaiah 43. He's going to do a new thing. In the end, he'll make all things new. Jesus wasn't some fly-by-night preacher who rose in popularity and then just suddenly disappeared into obscurity. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And otherwise, I wouldn't be speaking. Jesus, who came in the flesh as someone just like you and me, as a human being, but he came in order to pay the price owed to God for sin. Still there interceding for us. Still there in heaven working it out until that time that he comes. Until that time when he comes back. Perhaps you don't think too much about that. He's coming back one day. He's coming back in glory. He says, I'm coming soon. Not soon enough for me. And he says, my reward is with me, he says. He says, he will be your reward. And I will give to each person according to what they've done. Reminds us of Bill Clinton, doesn't it? We know what we've done. And we can't hide it. Hide it from one another. But we know. There are no vacillations with him. You know what vacillations are? No tantrums, no twistings, no turnings, nothing fickle or capricious. No one day this, the next day that. It's a constant plan right from the very beginning. Plan to save. The church, those who believe in him and trust in him, are those who are saved. This is where you find salvation in him. In the one who is the same yesterday, today and forever. The one who keeps his word. The one who doesn't tell porkies. Reminded of what Samuel once said, the glory of Israel, which is another way of describing God, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. He's not a man that he should change his mind. Well, isn't it marvellous that he hasn't changed his mind about you and me? With all that we get up to.
We may be, as I said right at the beginning of the message, be halfway through the year. But the Lord isn't pulling out at half time. That's the kind of thing we do. The Lord delivers. We're going to hear lots of promises in the next few weeks from lots of different people who think that they can do the job better than you, me, and your neighbour. Okay? We may be halfway through the year, but the Lord, whatever day it is, whatever year it is, however far through the year we are, however long or far away we feel we might be from what we would like to be as people or as a church, don't matter, because he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your unchanging goodness. We thank you that no sin, no distress, no difficulty in us will ever cause you to withdraw your love from us, will ever cause you to abandon us. As your word says, Lord, your love is strong as death. And Lord, as we gather, we even declare that it's stronger than that. We pray this morning that you would grant us each confidence in your promise to finish in your people all that you have started in them. For you are trustworthy, and great, great is the Lord. Amen.